Welcome to Pulp and Paper Radio International, the first place to hear the latest in worldwide pulp and paper news. We're coming to you from Duluth, Georgia, in the United States.
Welcome to the October 2022 edition of Wireside Chat, Pulp and Paper Radio International's monthly show offering insights into the pulp and paper industry worldwide. I am Helen Rausch, Executive Vice President of Pabriatello Publications, and I am joined by Steve Rausch, Vice President and Publisher and Editor of Pabriatello Publications. And this month, we have a special guest, Miles Cohen, founder of Circular Ventures, LLC. We'll be discussing the waste paper market. But Miles, before we get into the current dynamics of the waste paper market, can you please tell us who Circular Ventures is and the types of advisory work and consulting that you are doing these days?
Sure. And thank you for that introduction, Helen. We do work all around basically two areas, recycling and packaging sustainability. I serve on two boards, on the board of VEPA, which is the largest independent exporter of waste paper in the world, ships to over 100 countries, 3.5 million tons a year, about 3,000 containers a week. And I serve on the board of the Pack Green Coalition, which is a new trade association. I also am the North American representative for Norexico, which is does pulp trading and is a member of your organization. So full disclosure on that. And I also I'm the exclusive representative for a product by the name of Recycle Strip, which is a unique patented feature to put on a corrugated box or a folding carton to make it easier for the consumer to recycle. And I have several other clients that I have on a ad hoc basis.
Miles, I know that most of our audience knows what OCC is, but for those who don't, what is it and why explicitly is OCC the most important waste paper grade?
Well, listen, it's just a fancy way of saying cardboard. It's the most ubiquitous packaging material in the world. Almost everything comes in a corrugated box. In the U.S., we recycle over 30 million tons of recycled paper a year, more than glass, more than plastic, more than residential metal that comes out of households on a combined basis. So it's just cardboard. And why is it the most important waste paper grade? Because when it comes to paper mills that use recycled feedstock in their paper mills, the benchmark grade and the foundation of the whole recycling industry is based on OCC. Again, with over 30 million tons recycled in the country every year, well more than 50% of the paper mills that make paper are using OCC or some type of recycled paper. So it is by far the most important paper grade of waste paper that exists.
And Miles, I understand that the price of OCC has dropped steeply over the last few months. What the heck's going on here, and how long do you expect this to last?
Well, I would say that instead of precipitously, I'd say it's a bloodbath. The price has dropped close to $100 per ton over the last 6 months, and we can sum that up with one word, recession. Consumer spending and consumer confidence is down. People are spending less. Retail inventories are high, so retailers aren't ordering from their manufacturers and vendors that they buy from as much. So there's a domino effect. The consumer spends less because they're spending more on gasoline and all kinds of other inflationary items. And then so the retailers are hurting a little bit in terms of selling less. That backs up to a domino effect to the manufacturers and the vendors that the retailers buy from, which backs up to the paper mills. And there's less demand for recovered fiber. There's less demand for corrugated boxes than there was a year ago. So that's what's happened and it's happening all over the world.
Okay, so what about the other paper grades, such as mixed paper and high grades? Are those prices depressed as well?
Well, mixed paper is even worse. Mixed paper is, the price of mixed paper is almost zero. That's your residential mixed paper, the stuff that comes out of the curbside recycling. That's your newspapers, what's left of them anyhow. Your magazines, your office paper, all the stuff that comes out of households. Is you know, that's kind of a much lower grade of paper, and that stuff, the paper mill doesn't get as much yield off of that versus what they get with OCC because the length of the fiber is different. So there's less of a demand for that, and particularly when the price of OCC drops precipitously, paper mills are going to use OCC, which is a higher grade of paper, versus mixed paper.
And are these depressed prices just occurring in the North American domestic market, or are there global implications which change the dynamics of the export market for waste paper coming from the U.S.?
That's a great question, Steve. These waste paper prices are happening all over the world, whether it's the rest of Asia, India, Europe, everywhere. I just saw a study yesterday that said 75% of consumers in Europe are, in a recent survey that was done, are spending less money than they were 6 months ago. So people are watching their spending. This is going on all over the place. Again, it doesn't only have to do with inflation, but it also has to do with the drop in the stock market and the equity markets, where people see their portfolio going down, and they're just not making those discretionary purchases that they were 6 months or a year ago. So there are global implications. And by the way, there usually are. It's very rare that the OCC market in one region of the world will go up significantly and another region of the world that they'll go down significantly. It's usually that they follow each other. Now, to go back to your last question a minute, where you asked about mixed paper and high grades, and I mentioned that mixed paper was really like a bloodbath and has dropped to almost zero. Interestingly enough, high-grade paper, which is your office paper used to make tissue products, that price is maintaining its high levels. The tissue market is not as, does not have as much indications for dropping or going up with either recessionary times or good times. People always need bathroom tissue and napkins and those types of things. And that market, the waste paper market in high-grade paper, is actually propped up pretty well and is staying at a high level. It's maybe dropped a little bit, but not a lot. And again, that's globally. Those prices on high-grade paper, which is, for those in the audience who know these grades, that's a grade called SOW or SOP, sorted office waste, sorted office paper. And also there's less of that than there used to be, because since a lot of people are working from home, a lot of that office paper is not getting generated in waste like it was in office buildings before. And it's getting mixed in, if at all, with residential curbside paper, which is mixed paper. So the good high-grade paper is difficult to separate in a MRF. And basically what happens is that paper ends up getting downgraded to a mixed paper grade, which is the lowest of the low of all the grades of recovered paper.
And we'll be back for more right after this message.
Looking for an industrial general contractor who specializes in equipment installation and maintenance? With over 133 years experience in the pulp and paper industry, C.R. Meyer has the knowledge, skill, and experience for any project. From simple small projects to complex large challenges, call C.R. Meyer. We have skilled craftspeople, project managers, architects, and engineers available to capture and construct your vision. Complete your next project to the highest standards safely. Contact C.R. Meyer at 800-236-6650 or crmeyer.com.
And we're back.
Miles, I understand that you recently collaborated with the Bloomberg organization to study the recycling rate for OCC in the United States. Can you briefly recap what your major findings were, and are you continuing to plan to do further work in this area?
Oh boy, how much time do we have today? Yes, we plan to do more work in this area, number one. Number two, the major findings were this. For years and years and years, the major paper trade association in the U.S. has been promoting the fact that OCC cardboard recycling rate is between 85 and 95%. Last year, they came out with a number of 91.4%. After digging into this and looking into this, because most people feel that this is quite an exaggerated recycling rate, people who run landfills, people who run waste transfer stations, and people who are in the recycling business see a tremendous amount of cardboard that goes into the landfill. So we sort of took a deep dive into this, and as much as we can determine, because the paper trade organization is not necessarily very transparent in what their formula is, all of those shipping containers that come into this country, all those shipping containers from China and India and everywhere else in the world have corrugated boxes on them that go to Walmart and Target and, Costco and, all the toys and all the electronics and all the clothing, all the textiles. And the trade association that's responsible for tracking this recycling rate, what they do not do is they don't count all of those boxes that come into this country. Now, to be fair, they say there's no way to accurately do that, and I would kind of agree with that. However, we were able to get some great information from the Census Bureau, the Department of Commerce, et cetera, on how many containers come into this country by each major importer, like Walmart and Target and Costco and Nike and Under Armour and on and on and on. And we were able to calculate an average cubic feet of container space and what the amount of cardboard would be in those containers. Now, it's an estimate, but the guy at Bloomberg, Ryan Fox, he studies one thing and only one thing. He studies for Bloomberg the container board market, the cardboard market, and he knows it really, really well. And before he was with Bloomberg, he was in the cardboard recycling business for several years. And basically what we found out is there's 24.8 million containers that get imported into this country every year. None of the paper that's in those containers get counted in the denominator of the trade association's calculation. However, when those boxes are recycled at the big mass retailers and the big box stores and whatever, they're in the numerator. They're in the numerator, which we'll say it's pretty accurate, of 35.5 million tons, but they're not in the denominator, which is their denominator is somewhere around 39 million tons. So Ryan Fox and Bloomberg calculated this based on his best efforts and knowledge of the industry, and we came up with about 14 million tons of corrugated gets imported into this country. That's absolutely huge. So when we put that number in the denominator, we actually get a recycling rate of around 69%. That's a big difference from 91.4%. And we even think the 69% is too high. We erred on the side of caution to make sure that we weren't underestimating it too much in terms of what the recycling rate is. The other thing we've done is we've done a tremendous amount of work understanding where cardboard comes from in this country. And I, for the last 8 to 10 months, have built a database of hundreds and hundreds of municipalities around the country and how much cardboard they recycle. And then I've looked at all the major retailers. So the major box retailers in this country, of the 35.5 million tons that get recycled, of that total number, about 10 million, believe it or not, come from around the top 50 retailers in the country, the Walmarts, the Targets, the Costcos, the Krogers. And for most of those, I got very explicit numbers, whether asking for them for their numbers or other public documents or them giving me their numbers. And so 92% of the 35.5 million tons of cardboard that are collected in this country come from commercial industrial sources. You got 10 million tons from the big box retailers and supermarkets, et cetera. And then you have another close to 20 million tons from all other retail and commercial industrial combined, distribution centers, fast food chains. There's over 600,000 fast food restaurants in the U.S. They don't have a great recycling rate, but they do recycle. And residential recycling is only 2.7 million tons of the 35.5 million tons. So 92% of cardboard that's recycled in this country, and again, I have very, very detailed, granular data on this, 92% of the cardboard recycled in this country comes from commercial industrial, and only 8%, 2.7 million of the 35.5 million tons comes from residential. So, you know, when the paper trade associations talk about a 91.4% recycling rate, again, I call it fuzzy math. The imported boxes that come into this country that, you know, have the outer cartons for everything from toys to textiles and whatever, when those boxes get recycled at the big box stores, they're counted in the numerator, but they were never counted in the denominator. Now, to be fair, the paper industry has responded, and they came out with a new lower number based on our work of 79 to 82% or something like that. I don't know exactly what it is, saying that our numbers are way off, but we have complete confidence and faith in our numbers. Again, I have detailed Excel spreadsheets with cities around the country and everything. Think about this for a second. I call it a tale of two cities. The average supermarket and big box store recycles 14,800 pounds of corrugated per week. That's between seven and seven and a half tons a week, okay, is what the average big box store recycles in this country or supermarket. The average household recycles about 1 pound of cardboard per week. Now, to be fair, there's several cities where that number is up to 3 pounds a week, which is not a huge number. And there are many cities where it's zero, almost zero, because consumers only have drop-off centers to bring their cardboard to. If you live in a rural area, chances are a lot of your cardboard ends up going to the landfill because people are just not committed and that passionate about recycling, particularly if they have to drive 5, 10, 15 miles one way to bring their recyclables. So guess what? It goes in the trash. Bloomberg and I estimated that the amount of OCC that goes into the landfill per year is 15.9 million tons. Think about that. 16 million tons that goes into the landfill every year by residences, small businesses, et cetera. The big businesses do an excellent job recycling their paper. You know, the smaller businesses, it's kind of a mixed bag, and residential has a long, long, long way to go. The cost for residential recycling for collection is extremely high, and it does not generate a tremendous amount of paper. So we're in a bit of a debate, if you will, with the major trade association. They issued a op-ed, a press release, that says the OCC recycling rate is not up for debate, So I'd say to them, listen, if somebody has a lot of data, you should speak to them before you issue a statement like that and understand where they're coming from and what kind of data they have.
Well, this is great information, Miles, and we just have one more question for the day. What else should people know about trends in the recovered fiber and sustainable packaging markets?
So listen, Stephen, the biggest thing that's going on right now in packaging is there's a flight towards sustainable packaging. And in that flight for sustainable packaging, I'm sure I don't need to explain to you that plastic sort of has a big target on its back. They have very low recycling rates, number one. Number two, there's many, many plastics that are not recyclable because there are things like multi-layer films and things like that that are not recyclable. Or there are things that, for instance, if it's a polystyrene or a PVC, a number six or a number three, there's very, very limited recycling markets for those. And people are confused. People, the plastics industry put those chasing arrows on the bottom of the packages, which is not the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, symbol. It's just a symbol that says this is what type of plastic it is. So what happens is, and what's been happening for years, and it's not getting any better at all, is especially for curbside contamination, there is a tremendous amount of contamination in the curbside bin. As a matter of fact, many loads of recyclables coming from curbside, if they have so much in it in terms of contamination, not only will the contamination go to the landfill, the whole load will go to the landfill. The MRF, the material recovery facility, they see something dumped on the floor and it's got too much non-recyclable plastic in it or food waste or whatever, they'll just send the whole darn thing to the landfill. So, what's happening is consumer product brands are trying to get away from this negative perception of plastic. And you see announcement after announcement of one company after the other coming out with a paper-based item to replace plastic. A good example is Graphic Packaging has come out with, the six-pack plastic ring that was on top of a six-pack of beer or soda or whatever, or as you call it up in Ohio, pop. We don't call it pop. We call it soda. But they've come out with a product that is a paper-based product that holds those six cans together, and they are trying to get away from plastic because basically they feel, and they're right, consumer perception is less plastic and more paper. So that's kind of the biggest thing that's going on. The other thing that's going on is there have been numerous announcements of new paper mills that are opening in this country. Over the last 10 years, over the last 5 years and the next 5 years, so this 10-year period between 2016, we'll say, and 2026, in the Midwest alone or close to the Midwest, there's 10 new or refurbished or, newly opened paper mills where they've taken an old paper mill for a printing and writing mill and they've converted it into a brown paper mill. Because of the trend towards more paper and more recyclable paper, you see paper mills being built all over the country. There's a paper mill in Henderson, Kentucky, under construction right now, as I think you know. There's a paper mill that's been announced in Dayton, Ohio. There's a paper mill that's being worked on right now that will be opening before the end of the year in Kingsport, Tennessee. There's just a lot of activity. And this is new stuff. This is exciting. This is important because for years and years, as newspaper and printing and writing, as the world went digital, and newspaper and printing and writing was declining year after year, there were many paper mills that closed. And now we see a resurgence. I think the big question is this. Will there be enough paper to feed these mills? Because basically they're all 100% recycled mills. I don't think there's any of them that are pulp mills, number one. And two, will there be enough demand for the end product that comes out of those mills? Or will older mills that are higher cost and maybe pulp mills that don't use recycled fiber, well, those mills end up shutting down. So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens over the next 5 years.
Thank you so much, Miles, for providing insight to the current dynamics of the waste paper market. And please know that you have an open invitation to join us again in the future. And listeners, if you would like to contribute an idea you'd like for us to cover in the Wireside chat, we would like to hear from you. You can reach me by email at helen.roush@ipulpmedia.com. Wireside Chat is a production of Pulp and Paper Radio International, copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Thank you for listening to our show today. We appreciate your support. Make sure you're always reading the highest ranked e-newsletters in the worldwide pulp and paper industry. They are globalpapermoney.com and nipimpressions.com. This program has been produced by Pulp and Paper Radio International, now in its 10th year of delivering worldwide pulp and paper news when and where the listener desires. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. And remember, whatever you do, please do it safely. We'll be talking to you soon.